Yo, check this out. This is Fresh Get Out the China Man with the 2 Live Crew.
Yo, what's up, y'all? It's me, DMC.
What's up, y'all? This is the Blunt Master P.
Yo, check us out. Chuck the Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yella from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DLC.
This is your boy, C-Murder.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfuckers.
This is your boy, DJ Paul KOL 365.
Young Dizzy Ball.
Vice One.
Yo, this is DJ Ready Brand.
What up? This is the real Rick Ross. You listen to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
This is a show that shows no limits, broadcast nothing but the real. Interviews with legendary artists, still got love for the underground feel. Rappers with records reveal that each and the rappers are coming up, getting put on. We needed a platform to fight the mainstream. The show that you need to be on. Hit up UGS for life on the screen and follow up with it.com. For all of your needs, production and mixing and mastering, graphics and shadow the time. Check out the archives and hundreds of shows. Study your content, review what it is. Do everything free to download the stream. Oh yeah, we deserve the real review.
Unstoppable, we beat, we brought up, it's we represent. All them killers on the mic and we should love to all you fans.
I'm a man-made guy, crazy knocking all you rappers off. It's underground society, it's UGS for life, dog. Hip-hop AD, representing for them legends. Rapping mumble rappers, so we ain't sitting on the hip. Two-pocket beats, dreaming, thank you for the bliss. It's a murder master music show. Free the homie gangster, bro. I see these rappers on these streets, I got my job about to blow. Stay up on that raw shit, uncut street shit.
Keep it
like
a rabbit, bitch, we coming in strong. I see you feeding for the show.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's your boy Prez, Murder Master Music Show. You know what I'm saying? It's episode, I don't even know, man. I know it's 600 and something. You know, we've been doing a lot of dope shows lately. Recently, we had Hannah Ali on, promoting a book that she wrote about her father at home with Muhammad Ali. Before that, we had Jesse Ventura on with his new book, American Hemp. I'm just knocking out all different kinds of stuff. It ain't just hip-hop, but tonight it's all about hip-hop, man. We got a hell of a influential producer, you know. And this man needs no introduction, but I'll tell you a few of the people the man worked with. Well, shit, the first one off top, everybody should love Tupac, of course. You know what I'm saying? E-40, Dub C, Sebo, Be Legit, Exhibit, Jay-Z. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. I'm talking about the one and only Rick Rock, man. Let me bring him on right now. Rick, how you doing, fam?
What's up with you, my ninja? I'm Jesus. How you doing, family?
I'm doing real good, man. It's an honor to have you on the show. First and foremost, you know what I'm saying, and man, you've been putting in so much work over the years, man, and you got new stuff out to this day. What keeps you going, mm-hmm. Rick?
You know, to me, it's easy. It's like breathing. It's like it's supposed to be. It's in me, not on me. You know what I mean? So I just go where the energy takes me. So, you know, I still love to do it. So I just do it. You know what I'm saying? It's like just the next day.
Yeah.
That's all it is. From one song to the next, it's just the next day and the next day. You're just doing it over and over. And I just want to be dope. I never concentrated on no money. I really chase a childish motive. You know what I'm saying? Which is just to be dope. You know what I'm saying? I don't be thinking about no bills or nothing. I just think about, you know, how I used to feel and how I wanted to feel and how the music made me feel, and if I can do that to other people, you know, inspire them and have my own brick in the game, like, you know what I'm saying, like building a hip-hop building, and I have my own brick I put in there to help build the building. That's all I really wanted to do, and that, I think that just keeps me motivated.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely, mm-hmm. man. Now, you know what I'm saying? Of course, we all know you was on All Eyes on Me, Trade War Stories, you know what I'm saying, Hard to Find. But mm-hmm. prior to that, you know what I'm saying, when did you get your start? Because you're right in the middle of Frisco and Sacramento. That's a hell of a place to be coming up in the early 90s.
Yeah. Well, you know, what was crazy is I left in the 90s and I went to Alabama and I stayed with my granddad like that. So I really started getting into the music, as in like recording myself and all of that in Alabama.
Wow.
And I was out there recording a guy named Dr. Fingers. He produced a song for this group out of Alabama called the song's called Hit the Flow, but Dirty is the name of the group. His name is Dr. Fingers. But back in the day,
yeah, Dirty,
he's the one
yeah.
who taught me how to he's the one who taught me how to produce, and because I was trying to rap, and then once I got with him, I started kind of learning how to get my samples and beats and chop up and get snares and kicks and this and that, and learned the record aspect of it. So I kind of started there. Then I was like, I met a guy. I was working at some point in Montgomery, Alabama. I was working for my guy at SNA. They're an independent record promotion company in Montgomery, Alabama. So labels would come in and we'll take them all around to the radio stations in different places and promote them in the region. And I was interning there, and they also had a record pool there. And so the Conscious Daughters, which was on they were on Scarface Records at the time, Paris,
yeah,
had
Paris,
a label. Yeah.
Yeah,
and so they had came through the office. And when they were in there, I gave their manager a tape, and, you know, with some beats on it and this and that and the third. And so he eventually hit me back, like, yeah, we want one of those beats. And so they brought me back to California, to the Bay Area, picked me up in San Francisco Airport. And like 95, and I just ain't went back since. And it's kind of just started like that. I started basically Conscious Daughters gave me my first check and my first song on a major label. So I,
wow.
you know, that's really where it's kind of started. And I just stayed out, and I got with Mike Mosley, and he came to a rehearsal. Mike Mosley came to a rehearsal that the Conscious Daughters was at, and I was there. And from there, I left with him, and I just lived at his studio because I didn't have nowhere to live or nothing. And you know, then from there, staying on Mike Mosley's couch, as a lot of people came in, that's when I met 40 and the Click and all them. I met them again. I really knew them already from the game, from, you know, earlier before I went back to Alabama and on some street shit. Excuse me, on the cuff. But Yeah, so I stayed there, and then Mystical came through. I did this song called Murderer for him, like, early in the 90s, like, no, 95, 96. He just came in, and that's how I started kind of getting on projects. You know, it was like Pac came really fast, and because he liked it, Mike Mosley, and I was up under Mike Mosley at that time, you know. So I was getting around meeting people, and you know, it was real. Because when I left Montgomery, Alabama, wasn't nothing real out there. You know what I'm saying? It was all on TV. And then when I came back, you know, I was like, man, it's real. It's really going on out here. Checking everything.
Alabama, there's a lot of talent out there, too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure.
Talent out in Alabama, man. ROA, you know what I'm saying? A lot of different groups. But for you to come from
mm-hmm.
Alabama and back to the Bay, and here you are, you're on Mike Mosley's couch, you see E-40 coming through and all these different people, and
mm-hmm.
next thing you do, Pac, you know, say, what were you thinking, man? You had to, I mean, that had to have been an amazing time period in your life. Minus the couch, of course.
Surreal. Yeah, it's like surreal, man. Like, for instance, like, we went to, I was with Mike Mosley, we all caravaned from the Bay, Sebo, Richie Rich, Mike Mosley, me, we all like caravan out there to get with Pac. And then he was at the La Montrose. We pulled up to La Montrose. He was coming out as we were getting there. So then we all just got back in the car and followed him to Can-Am Studio, which is Death Row Studios. And, you know, and then he's playing us the album or whatever. And then right after that, he's like, yeah, man, let's do a song. And he's talking to 40 and Sebo and all them. And, you know, and I used to carry SB-12 discs with me, 1,200 discs. And Pac had in the studio they had a 1,200. And so while they were waiting, I just loaded up. I said, something just said, just load up something. And I just put a disc in and loaded that shit up and pressed play, and it came on them big speakers, and Pac was like, what's that? I was like, man, that's you. You know what I'm saying? And it was that Trade and War Story song. So Pac just wrote his rap so fast. But I say that to say this. I left out the room, you know, and I'm just regular, but I went outside and called my people back in Alabama and was like, nigga, you, nigga, I just hit here with Pop. Nigga, I just did this, that. What you move, man? I can't believe it. It's like unbelievable. But then I come back in the studio and I just be regular. You know, it's like they didn't even know nothing happened. And I just was calm and cool. You know what I'm saying? So it is a lot of surreal moments when you like, this shit is for you're really here. And the type of personality I have, you know, I have to, I'm just real, like, it's unbelievable that I'm there. And you have to tell yourself, nigga, you here, bro. Just show up. Whatever you do, show up. Yeah, you here, so show up. Don't be here and, you know what I'm saying, drop the ball. So I always was aware.
You were always aware of it.
Brother?
I'm sorry. No, I was just going to say that album, was a classic, but those two tracks always stood out for me, man.
Yeah. I never really liked them as far as compared to those other people, you know what I'm saying? Because I was just beginning, obviously, man. A lot of those people was masters. But I was proud of myself. But, you know, DJ Pooh and Dr. Dre and, you know, those niggas was on there cutting up, you know what I'm saying? So,
some great company, but, right?
Yeah, man. It was more just great memories than, you know, it wasn't my best work, you know what I'm saying? But I just, I appreciated the moments, man, and Pac talking all that shit and learning and watching the work ethic and, you know what I'm saying? I took that with me. When he dead and gone, you know what I'm saying, for years now, and that still sticks with a lot of people. You know, and I know it sticks with a lot of people because it stuck with me, and I just worked with him a few times.
He
you know what I'm saying?
So you met him in 96?
Yeah, 95. Can't remember the year we all went out there. We was working on All Eyes on Me. But then I ended up doing some other stuff. And we did a few records. We did about 5 records. I don't know where a lot of the summer's on us. Another album. I forget what the name of that is. It's another album, and then the other couple songs is on, like, you know, when you remember when he first passed, it was a lot of little albums coming out.
Yeah.
I think I heard, like, mixtapes or something. I think some of those songs are on those somewhere, but I can't – the ones I can't remember that we did, because we did some other ones, too.
Yeah, I hear that a lot. I hear a lot of people, like Spice was telling us, you know, there's tracks that he had that he never saw the light of day, and – you know, I'd love to hear that shit, man. I imagine you would too.
Yeah.
What was it like?
We didn't have no control back then.
You had.
It was dope.
He was like, I mean, you say he was in and out, just handling his business, and boom, on to the next. You know, saying you learned.
Yeah, he to the next. Yeah, he just talked a lot of shit. He just exuded a lot of energy, fun. People was laughing, a lot of laughing. You know, he was exactly what you see. But I was just more, you know, not in awe. Let me try to think of the words. Kind of like a concentration mode. Like, it's like, is this going to happen? So you're always in a constant state of, is this real versus fantasy? What is, you know what I'm saying? Show up type of things and stuff. So I just remember him having a bunch of energy, like, because I was there when he recorded Hit 'Em Up, and he like, I make sure all y'all kids don't grow, whatever that song is.
Yeah,
I was there, so I seen the Outlaws come in and tell him about some of the, like, you know, a couple of the, whoever was saying something, Chino XL or somebody else that Exhibit S said something. You know, that's the homie, though, but back then, you know, Exhibit S said something, and, you know, so they was talking about that, and he went in and recorded it. And, like, there's some shit where his mic distorts or whatever. And he was like, that just happened on accident. He was like, just keep that shit like that. You know, like, all these little weird moments, like the Soul Train, after the Soul Train Awards. That might have been right after the Soul Train Awards, because it was the Soul Train Awards where Biggie and them was up there, and they started running or whatever. And it was right after a confrontation at the Soul Train Awards with Pac and Biggie and them. And then they came back to Can-Am, and me and Mike was still in there working on a beat for him. He came in and, you know, started talking about the stories. And Left Eye was there. Goody Mob was up in there. Yeah, that shit coming back to me. That shit was crazy.
Wow.
Man, that's the Goody Mob, nigga. That's Left Eye. Nigga, this nigga got Left Eye sitting right here, baby. Chilling
so
with the hoodie on, nigga, like she just wasn't
that,
even.
Babe. You're in the mix in
yeah.
the middle of all that.
I'm just
wow.
a fly on the wall. You know what I'm saying? These people is factors. They're on. They're the best in the world. Yupacra's like on top of his game. And I'm just there. You know what I'm saying? Trying to come up, trying to, you know, can I get a beat on? Can I, don't fuck up. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Type shit.
Well,
you know,
what were your thoughts, Rick, when you heard Hit 'Em Up? I mean, were you like, were you thinking, man, this has got to be the craziest diss ever? Better than No Vaseline? What were your thoughts?
I don't know. I can't even remember thinking none of that. I didn't think none of that. I just thought it was just, damn, this motherfucker, they on here going crazy. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't until afterwards, till, you know, I seen the video and the shit afterwards, and I can kind of take it all in, and start hearing the stories about what's going on, and you know, then it started, I could really gauge it. But while they was recording, you know, it wasn't like that. I just heard, like, I really heard Pac. And then a lot of niggas that didn't do right, he took them off the song and shit. I remember that part. But, yeah, it was just like, damn, it, you know, basically the same thing. You feel it in awe that you there and shit. But you just, all of the songs sound like that to you. You know what I'm saying? Like, damn.
He was intense.
Here. Yeah, but I didn't feel any, I don't remember feeling any way. Yeah, it's real.
Yeah, that's crazy. But then you go on from that, you know what I'm saying, being, like you said, being in the room with Left Eye and all these people, you know what I'm saying, and you go on to create a hell of a career over the last, you know what I'm saying, to what, since Pac passed, 24 years or so, 23
yeah.
years. You know what I'm saying? He was on the Hall of Game. That was E-40, you know what I'm saying? Of course, you know, did a lot of stuff with him, you know what I'm saying? Spice One. Mm-hmm. What are some of your favorite records that stand out over the years that stood out to you?
I like the Busta Rhymes and Mariah Carey song, that Baby, If I Give It to You, You Give It to Me. It's called I Know What You Want. I liked that one. I like... there's like a couple songs on the RBL album I did, RBL Posse, that I thought was like production was dope.
Hell of a group right there.
I like
there.
This song, Bumping My Music, this one song, I like that. It's Ray Cash is his name, and it's featuring Scarface. It's just a lot of E-40 songs that I like, because I just think, if we didn't do them, they wouldn't be here. And that's what I love. Like, that lets me know I didn't bite people's shit. And it's on his albums, there's a lot of that where, we used to challenge each other to go left on production and lyrics. So, what else do I like? I like that Mace Breeze Stretch Shake. I like that beat. And I like I Can't Deny It, that Fabulous. I like that beat too, featuring Nate Dogg, rest in peace. So I mean, it's a few I really like all of them, man. But some I less like more than others. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the 40. I mean, a lot of the Bay Area stuff, of course, you're known for. You know what I'm saying? But some of the cats you worked with a lot of cats on the East Coast too. One of the guys, you know what I'm saying? Super mega movie star Will Smith. What was it like to work with him?
Well, that wasn't really a big thing because I didn't get this. That was like a transfer thing. You know what I'm saying? So it was like the first time you were sending things online. It was kind of like that, you know. So it was cool, though, because, you know, we were going back and forth over the phone, and that was okay, you know what I'm saying? But I didn't get in there and work with him. I sent him the beat. He put like orchestras. He had like one of those big symphonies come in, which was dope because how I was playing it was with the strings. So he had a symphony come in and play what I was playing. I thought that shit was dope. You know what I'm saying? Like, people are spending money bringing my ideas to life. It's like, it's just what's crazy. Or no.
Yeah,
so, you know, and then I liked it what he did on it. And, I just appreciated it. But we didn't get in together and work, though. So that's the only thing with that.
Yeah, but he definitely, you know what I'm saying? I mean, that guy's a legend in the game, of course, you know, but there's so many legends in the game you work with. Jay-Z, matter of fact, they just announced this cat's a billionaire. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. Congratulations to the ninja.
Yeah, congratulations, man. Me, I never really liked his music per se, because I'm from the Murder Dog, you know what I'm saying? So you
yeah,
kind of know what we're
sure.
about at Murder Dog. But
yeah.
What was it like sure. working with Jay-Z, though? Was he, you know what I'm saying, pretty humble cat, or was he arrogant? How was he?
He was cool. He ain't humble, you know what I'm saying? He definitely, he's aware of who he is in every capacity. I'll just put it like that. But he's not an asshole. He was hella cool. And very, very talented. And, you know, that was dope. What happened is he picked a beat. It was like it was a real mob-ass beat. You know what I'm saying? Like some West Coast Bay Area kind of shit. And then they called me on some weird shit. I was like, well, nah, is this Jay-Z? Yeah, man, I'm telling you, this shit's crazy. Whatever. So they flew me out to New York, and then when I got there, Jay-Z ended up not wanting the beat that he picked and shit. So then I just played a couple beats, and he picked Change the Game, and then I made a beat on the spot, which was Get Your Mind Right, and then I did Parking Lot Pimpin' there too. So I ended up doing four: Parking Lot Pimpin', Squeeze First, Get Your Mind Right, and Change the Game. And so that was just dope. He was in there recording the whole time. He didn't write nothing down. He was telling me hella stories and shit and how I was growing up. And then his homeboy Jazzo, the nigga that put him in the game basically on some songs back in the day, he came through the studio and they were sitting there chopping it up and this and that. But when I say he's aware of himself, what I mean is like, when he was recording Parking Lot Pimping, I'd be like, I hit the button like, hey, can you do that over? Just that one line? You know, and then, you know, then he'll say, yeah, yeah, for sure. Then he'll do it. And then he said, who does this? You know, like, basically you're new and you telling me what to do. He said, well, I'm going to do it. You know what I'm saying? Well, who does this? Who's this guy? You know what I'm saying? Like that. So that's like, he's aware of he's the shit. You know what I'm saying? At that time and moment and space and time. And that's why I say he's not just humble, but he hella cool, though. And he real cool now. I just seen him the other day. And he's just hella cool, man. We just all in a good space.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely, man. You just done a lot of work, like we said, with E-40, and of course, Be Legit, you know what I'm saying? What's it like working with Be Legit, and does it get cloudy in the studio when you get together with Be Legit?
Come on, man, you already know. That's cool working
turn
with Be Legit. Cool working. Come on, man. That's how it's supposed to be, too. We be a near man. But, it's just all good. It's you know, me and 40 work the most, but it's basically the same energy with Bila. They know what they want, and you know, we just get down to it. They write on the spot. They write their lyrics on the spot. They real hands on, just professionals, man. So good energy. Just put it in the air, and we just wiggle. Yep, Bila cool, man. Bila, how he rides the beat is unique in the Bay. You know what I'm saying? So in the world, really, but. You know what I'm saying? He's definitely a pillar where we from, man. So, yeah, it's always dope working with my niggas. He got down on my last album. I got an album called Rocket, and I got two albums, one called Rocket, and the one I just put out is called Rick Rock Beast, the album. He's on the Rocket album, you know, kicking his feet. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it'd be cloudy, though, man. Cloudy skies, my ninja. That's what's up.
Yeah, man. I'm telling you, man. We're in Illinois. I'm in Illinois, and they just legalized us over here. Long overdue. You know what I'm saying? They need to do that across the board. you know, quit fucking around, you know. But yeah. But yeah, man, you, I mean, all those guys on the West Coast. But I like how you were able to transcend and take that, you know what I'm saying, that sound that you developed and pretty much take it all over the globe. Like we were talking about all the East Coast people you work with, you know, Bone Thugs and Harmony, you name it,
yeah.
Man. Is there anybody else, though, that you haven't worked with, you know what I'm saying, that you'd like to?
Man, I never worked with DMX. I would have loved to get some of that poetry, you know what I'm saying,
yeah.
That thug poetry on some of my shit. And Lil Wayne, he's like an alien, you know what I'm saying? I would have liked to, I mean, he's still getting down, so I like to work with him. I wish I'd have worked with Nipsey Hussle, you know what I'm saying? I think we would have had some shit, you know what I'm saying? And who else I didn't work with? I wanted to work with Redman. I got worked with him. Yeah, I work with Dre. All of them I wanted to work with. I like that kid, the baby, as far as a new cat. And, yeah, I wanted to work with Karis One. I did one with Karis One. So I think that's it. I think I really would want to work with Lil Wayne, DMX.
Yeah, he's been in it for a minute himself, I mean, since he was a little kid, man, and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's that longevity, you know, cats like yourself, you know, you got that longevity, you know what I'm saying,
mm-hmm.
and you're still putting out dope music. We're going to let him hear a track here in a second. Matter of fact,
mm-hmm.
This one's called Main Phone, featuring some people here, you know what I'm saying. Could you introduce this track for us as we go to a break?
Okay, for sure, yeah, this is Rick Rock. Off that Rick Rock Beats, the album is called Main Phone, featuring Snoop Dogg and Stressmatic. Y'all listen to it right here. Check it out, man.
We'll be right back.
Hello? On my main phone, texting with this other phone, trying to keep these lights on, sleeping with my nights on, doing hella shit, busting patterns in a reno. Watch my paper get longer. On my main phone, texting with this other phone, trying to keep these lights on, sleeping with my nights on, doing hella shit, busting patterns in a reno. Watch my paper get longer. I'm on the road to the riches, checking paper, man. I wanna play in gold like a Laker, man. My bitch too negative, gotta shake her, man. She gotta catch me in the wind like a paper plane. I came up in the 80s where the women were defensive, so I came up with a counter called passive aggressive temper. When you make them feel lucky for fucking me in the love, help them bust nuts and they helping me buy trucks. Not outright, but a nice down in the first month. I mean, I'm not really pimping, my nigga. Fuck you on. Beat slapping, 9 milli packing ass nigga. Old Sue Soon City slew macking ass nigga. I am spit taking llama about my decimal digits, comma, rubles, shillings, pesos, watch out, because function lead to trauma. That's why I'm on
my payphone, texting with this other phone, trying to keep these lights on, sleeping with my nights on, doing hella shit, busting patterns in a reno. Watch my paper get longer. On my main phone, texting with this other phone, trying to keep these lights on, sleeping with my nights on, doing hella shit, busting patterns in a reno. Watch my paper get longer.
Nike Cortez on my feet in a deep sleep with a freak. From the meet and greet, now it's mouth to me. Rick bounced the beat, gave an ounce to Pete. Had to cut the bitch off for popping off to me. I'm back to business relentlessly, I ain't done till I'm finished. Variety in your society, and bitch, I'm the menace. You wish I would call back, you wish I would fall back. See, I'm a dope boy, so I'ma need my football back. In and out these routes like I was Julian Edelman. I need all mine from the shit I've been peddling. I'm settling for nothing less than the top notch. Jumping over all you hoes like hopscotch. Bitch, back up off me and leave me alone. I'm walking my dog a half a mile from my home on my phone. Trying to get rich, talking shit to a bitch. Coming up with some shit like this.
On my main phone, texting with this other phone. Trying to keep these lights on. Sleeping with my nights on. Doing hella shit, busting patterns in a red. Watch my paper get longer. On my main phone, texting with this other.
other phone. Trying to keep these lights on, sleeping with my nights on. Doing hella shit, busting patterns in a reno. Watch my paper get longer. Rock it.
Yeah, holla at me. No, I'ma text you from my other number. Yeah, it's 818. Oh, you want me to hit you from the 213?
You find our hero, Paps Bastardly, roaming the land with nothing but his NPC and his moral compass in hand. Avoiding all punk shit, not leading $2 in his hand. Weaving through the malevolent man and their malevolent plan. You got to catch them.
On my main phone, texting with this other phone. Trying to keep these lights on, sleeping with my nights on. Doing hella shit, busting patterns in a reno. Watch my paper get longer.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about right there. That beat slaps so hard. And speaking of smoke.
Oh, man, right on my...
Snoop on there. Jesus.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, man, we did a couple things. I got, that's going to be on his album as well. You know what I'm saying? I also got Moment I Feared on my album with Snoop on there. And we also just did this shit for Madden. For the I think it's the intro for the Madden game. It's kind of cold.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
man,
so we
man,
did
man.
It. Me and Snoop are wiggling a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, you guys are putting in work, man, and you know, you got the Madden. I mean, how does it make you feel all these years later to still be at the level that you're at, working with the people that you're working with, and really at the top of the game still?
I feel blessed, you know, because I still, I could, like, I think I'm getting, like, I'm better, getting better than that. That's It's like knowledge, gaining knowledge, you know what I'm saying? But it's musical knowledge, and you're just getting better and better. So that's the blessing in it. So then if I were to get up and I couldn't do it, like I couldn't do it at all, that would feel, you know what I'm saying, like I've been stripped, like I did something bad and God stripped me down or something. So as long as of my power or something, so as long as I had that, I feel blessed, man. I feel blessed because it's grind, 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 then shine, you know what I'm saying? It's peaks and valleys. And, you know, once you jump in this shit, you got to understand, you got to have the endurance. Just like, you know, you got to be in shape, just like NFL football, like a season up, like, you know, you got to be able to understand it, man, perseverance. And so I feel blessed, family. I feel blessed. And I still got a long way to go, you know, because it's like that. I'm still up. I'm still dope. But I still got shit to do. You know what I'm saying? Things to prove.
Oh yeah,
so,
definitely. Definitely.
Like
but you're needed right now, man. With beats like that, I mean, Jesus, man, that's shit. You know, you're needed. And there's other producers I loved over the years too. From out west, I wish would come back strong, like Ant Banks. I think that dude is a phenomenal producer.
Oh, man. He is hard. And he was mixing his shit.
He was killing it. You know what I'm saying? He was killing
it.
Who are some of, as a producer, who are some of your favorite producers?
Dr. Dre. That was like he's the Dalai Lama to me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That shit he's been putting down since for many, many, many moons. I like in hip hop. I always like Dre, DJ Premier, from the Gangstar. Mostly the Gangstar records. Damn near everything else though too. And because I was a Gangstar fan. And I like Maurice. Now as producers, I like Maurice Starr. Maurice White for the producers, the main writer producer for Earth, Wind, and Fire. And I like, let me get back into my hip hop. I love Timbaland, I love Pharrell. I love there's a dude from the Bay, DJ Daryl. He had this mob ass sound when I first came out there. DJ Daryl had some shit out.
Him and Moseley.
Studio Tone. Mike Moseley taught me a lot as far as production you know what I'm saying, real production etiquette and going to studios and, you know, how just being a producer. He taught me how to be, to walk as a producer, you know what I mean, live as a producer. And he got me my first publishing deal. So Mike Mosby, for sure, he had his, Mike Mosby, Sam Bostic had their own sound. And if they, people who start, I'm really into people who start their own shit. You know what I'm saying?
You do
they
with
got their own. Yeah, your own. Like, any, like, if you listen to Change the Game, that's like, that's my shit. If you listen to any of those records where I had the pluts in it, like, nobody was, that was my shit. Like, so I like, okay, and then every time I try to do something, I try to approach it different. And, like, so I had a hyphy. I was doing hyphy, but that wasn't nobody's sound. So we just started one, kind of like, you know what I'm saying? So those are the people, I feel
time.
Like are.
I didn't hear nothing like
that
before.
Yeah, man. And that's who, I believe in my mind, those are the celebrated ones. Those are the ones being vesseled, you know what I'm saying? Like, a true original thought being vesseled through somebody, and they're putting it out there, and it's, you know, it's original because you ain't heard it before. So that's an original soul with an original thought putting something out there and a perspective musically.
One of mine, man, the guy that first sampled Scarface, man, DJ Reddy Red, rest in peace. Those
wow,
early Ghetto Boys records,
yep,
to me, man, those were unfuckwittable. You know what I'm saying? Did you bump
them
a lot?
Should I back in the day, that first album, that it was crazy because it was pan. I remember if you have only a one speaker, I remember how it used to sound. It sounded different in one speaker. Like, that's how they panned it. In my brain, that's how I remember that album. That was hard. That shit was hard. That's when they had the real Red dude in the group back in the day. He was like a real red, light-skinned dude.
Yeah, DJ Reddy Red.
He
right
wasn't
there.
In. Okay, yeah, he wasn't in the later things. But yeah, that was hard, man. Yeah, that all the way through, that shit was hard. That was amazing.
Yeah,
and then they got Mike Dean into the scene at some point, and he was crazy.
You know?
He was like almost like a Southern Dr. Dre or something because he had those. He had, like, high-quality sounding shit, but it didn't sound like Dre's, but it was like it. You know what I'm saying? Southern.
A little
G-funk. Like, Southern
version.
Yeah, his shit was, that shit, he had hella shit back then. He was doing that was tight. Yeah, I forgot about Cousin. He hard, too. That's lot of motherfuckers that it was in this game that did it. Sir Jinx. Yeah, he was crazy.
Fucking
Mr.
Mix.
Just so mean, bro. Like,
with the 808 bass, you know.
They,
I mean,
shit was, they had the dopest production in the fucking in the Miami bass music history. When I lived in Montgomery, bro, he came to my high school. He came to my high school, my nigga. He did a pep rally at the high school, my ninja. We all was in there, and it was going crazy. But you know, the Southern is a stripper culture. You know, strip clubs, strippers, and this and that. And so, you know, dancing. So I couldn't believe they brought him to the high school. He kept it relatively clean. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, they had the dopest. They was hard. And, damn, what's my nigga that did, that album was just hella 808 in it with Mike. Damn, I can't forget my ninja name, man.
Are you talking about
a lot
Mike,
of Miami?
Yeah, I know you're talking about, man. He's from Atlanta, but he produced for Luke Records a lot, man. Mike Fresh? You talking about him?
I don't think it was him. Not him. Huh? Was it? Nah, he had that one song that was doo 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 ba boom boom doo 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 boom ba boom doo 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 ba boom boom.
That was Mick.
He just
Mick on the 2 Live Crew Nasty Wannabe Part 2. I know you're talking about that instrumental track at the end.
Yeah, it was hard, man. Though, man.
Hell yeah.
It was hard, for sure. But man, you know, it's hell of them, though, my ninja. It's so mean. And you don't really trip. But I like the longevity part. Like, somebody, and you know, could bring something out and bring it to the people and have a vision. And and can keep going and going and going and going. So yeah, that's why I still fall back on the Dre's.
Yeah, innovators. You know, to me, there's nothing like Me Easy Does It. That's one of the best records, you know what I'm saying, of all time. I just love that fucking, that record, the way it is. But I'll tell you what, Rick, we got the homie Sin from France. He's the one, the one that set up the show was the homie Ren the Heat Monster, you know what I'm saying, Doja Click.
That's right.
Well, he told me about it, but the homie Sin, he's the one that set it up from France. I'm going to bring him on. He's got a few questions for you. And then,
okay, for sure.
Then we're going to close it out, brother. Thank you so much. Here's Sin. Lord Sinister, you there, brother?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So,
what's up, Rick?
The building. Yeah, I want to ask you about how you met Mike Mussel, in fact, on the Bay, and... In fact, it's great to him. You meet E-40. Tell us about Mike Mosley and E-40.
Okay. Mike Mosley I knew from high school. So when I moved back to Alabama, I was working at this place called SNA, which was a record promotion, independent promoter and record pool. And and I seen his name on some credits, some E-40 credits and stuff like that. And I was like, dang, is that the same Mike Mosley? You know, and so he was doing it. I was trying to do it in Montgomery, Alabama, again, starting to make music, but he was really doing it. He had worked with Tupac already, and he had did some E-40 songs. And so it just so happened when I came back to California from Alabama through the Conscious Daughters, that Mike Mosley, I ran back into Mike Mosley. I knew Mike Mosley from high school though, and so when he came up there to the Conscious Daughters, they were rehearsing for a show, and I was just up there, and then Mike was like, "Man, come on, man, coach, come with me or whatever." So then I went with him, and he just let me live in the studio, and from there I just was trying to learn his equipment because I didn't know how to play a keyboard or any of that. I just was an SB-1200 sampler, and now I don't sample at all. So it was crazy, but so then I just wanted to show him that I really wanted to do this and I could add to his company. And he told me straight up, like, man, I like what you do. You can add the hip hop to my company because I'm doing the mob stuff. You know, I'm doing the West Coast shit. You can add that hip hop. And he was like, hey, I don't want you to get it fucked up. You're not going to make me or break me. You know, so, and I was like, and I respected it. I was like, okay, this is where I need to be here. Because I need to hear some real shit. I need to hear real shit. I don't want no fairy tale. So, so I just got to liking Mike, man. Me and him, we start clicking, and, you know, and he was showing me how to just be like to walk. I was telling him earlier to walk as a producer, to be one, and to live it, you know, and not just make a beat, but learn how to produce this, that, and the third. And that's basically it, you know, because I already knew him, and then we just happenstance to bump into each other again, and then we went to that studio. I saw the address at when I was in Montgomery, Alabama, you know, and we went there, and you know, it's so weird sometimes, bro, because it's like now I'm living. When I was living in that studio, I'm just like, I was just thinking about this studio address when I was in Montgomery, Alabama.
Way before you doing, you be the creator of IFE Sound, before you doing the mob sound. And Kalu said one time the creator of mob sound was Studio Town. So there are a lot of people like Dayrail, Tony Capone, Love Bolak, or One Drop Scott, or Sam Bostick. But, what do you think about the creator of Studio Town? And you made Bob song, but with your own touch. You were very different from Evan Mosley, Evan Bostick. You have your own touch, more like Bosco. Can you tell us about that, about the Studio Town Bob song?
Yeah, Studio Town just had that. Studio Town is like he played instruments. And so that's what he was adding. So you would hear it out the room, and it was funky, you know. So, you know,
yeah,
him
yeah.
and Mike,
like,
you know,
like
but yeah, but Studio Tone would just get in there and just get down all by himself, you know what I'm saying? And he didn't really, he was an older cat, you know what I mean? He was laced already, and he was leaps and bounds above me for sure, you know. So I would just learn when I got out there. He told me, Studio Tone told me, just, I said, man, what can you tell me, man? He said, just whatever you charge, don't switch it. He said, because whatever it's going to be, that's what they're going to try to keep you at or something. And I always remembered that. But, yeah, but he had his own unique style of mob, and it was mostly because he played most of all the instruments. He might have played
yeah.
the drums live or everything on it. And Mike had more of a drum machine, 808s. They had different styles of mob. And when I came, I wanted to do what they wasn't doing. I'm like, I don't want to do what everybody's doing. I want to switch it up out here. I want to, you know, make my own sound. That's why it's always tell Mike.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah.
You're right. The mob song was very melodic, very different
mm-hmm.
from the West Coast, so South West Coast. I think about LA,
mm-hmm.
and I think about Funk Beta from South Town. You can see
yeah.
this feeling too. This feeling too. It's right. It's a different name. It's from seeing it. And
they definitely have a different sound.
Yeah,
that
it's
Funk
it's
Beta
own
and
song, in fact.
Yeah, Brother Lynch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us also about your. There's a first group you manage, which was Cosmic Slop Shop. Asking about Sinful and Da Family. Can you tell us about this one back in the day? You have your own song too on this one.
Yeah, that was all when I was living in the studio. When we made that album, when I met Big Lurch for the first time,
yeah.
and he was working with Mike Mosley. And I went back to Alabama to get Dooney Baby. When I got my first check from the Conscious Daughters, I went and got Dooney Baby because my one homie, anyway, long story short, I ain't going to get into all that. But anyway, so I brought Dooney, and so we just started kind of collaborating all while we would be in the studio. And I'll make a beat or something, and Dooney will sing and rap and go. And we just started making those songs. And then we started shopping it. We shopped it to Mike Mosley, I think, shopped it to M2 May. That dude that made Juicy Fruit back mm-hmm. in the day, and him and his family signed us, and we made the record that way. But you know, I was always just trying to be creative,
yeah.
make some.
Yeah, at Cosmic Slop Shop, you got Big Lurch from Dallas, so. You have a little gambo funk. In fact, you tell about Studio Tone, the melodic, but I have we can feel like the Mike Dean sound, you know, the gambo, like Big Lush do, but it's different. Soul feeling. Cosmic Slop Shop was a group. You got
mm-hmm.
soul in it, you know. You know what I mean? I think about. So like the Mike Dean song, but you have your own song too, melodic.
Yeah.
And it was a shock for you. What's happened to Big Lurch, I think?
No. You know, he was trending that way.
Okay.
You know, me and him, you know what I'm saying? That didn't come out of nowhere. You feel me? Like he was always trending that way. And there was a lot of series of different events, different things that he did that tumbled. That's when he was spiraling until he hit that bottom, you know, and there was a few things while he was spiraling. So it didn't shock me. It was weird. I seen like years ago, Gerardo Rivera had him on or something. He was talking. That was surreal to me. Like, what the fuck? This nigga really is, you know. But like his son hits me back then. I got pictures of him and his son in my house right now, you know. But his son was a baby, but he was tall as shit when he was a baby too. But he's you know, he's grown now and shoots hoop, and I just connected him with Vlad TV because they wanted to talk to him. So it's still cool as far as, you know, I ain't mad or nothing. You know, he got himself in a crazy situation, and you know, and he just has to figure that part out of life, you know what I'm saying? But other than that, it was just crazy, man. Turned everything upside down, but we just had to keep pushing.
Yeah. We had him on the show one time. And Federation, how we got the idea of the After Tonight sample for the Slickness?
For
the group Federation.
How did I get the idea for Federation?
Yeah.
It just happened. That happened right after Lurch. Everything just kind of transitioned, you know. So when Lurch went down, then me and Duty kind of was still just making songs. And then I ran into some of the guys from Ken Smoke, which is Goldie. From one of the dudes was Goldie Gold, which is he's in the group Federation. Then he auditioned, like, rap for me and shit. And I was like, oh, man, he hard. So then I started working with him. And I was working on his shit separately and then doing it separately. But sometimes we'll do a click song. And then those click songs kind of were sounding cool. And then one day Dooney, you know, brought in Stress. I was like, I should holler at him. And he just started being around the studio a lot, putting input on, doing hooks here and there, and started making, you know, rapping. And it's just one of those things that just kind of just flowed into something. And then I started saying, let's do some songs together. Y'all just do some songs as a group. And then once I started getting some shit I felt like was good, I started shopping them. You know, I started taking them all to L.A. And then actually I got their – I pressed up their shit first, and that's how I got – once I pressed up and started getting a little spin, then I got a deal. And then, that's kind of how it went. We just, you know, move like that. It was just one of those things, you know, like a crazy series of events, coincidences.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because Dooney, baby, he's from Alabama, and the only reason he came down is because I didn't really know him. But my homeboy passed away. When he passed away, he said he was going to pass away in a car accident or something. No. Never mind. I don't get into all that, man. I'll leave it alone. I start getting into all that dude. As you guys bring up the old bones, man, start bringing up the past. Yeah. It's like, woo, it's so much shit that went down. But
Ben is like an encyclopedia, man. That dude, he'll bring up shit.
We'll have
cats on there, and he'll ask them about songs that they don't even remember they recorded.
I was like, what the? You bring it? It makes me want to start telling all kinds of shit. I'm like, wait, hold on, man, shut the fuck up. I had to shut myself down for a second.
On the legendary album of Mystical Unpredictable, one of the top. On the top, on the second track of the album, it was Master P approached you, or you approached Mystical, or how it was to deal with No Limit.
Well, it was. I was in Mike Mosley's studio. I used to live there, and so I was just in there making a beat, and Mystical came in. I think he came to work with Mike Mosley. He came to work with Mike Mosley. And so he walked in the door. As soon as he walked into the studio door, opened the door, I was making the beat. I was going do 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 do. I was just making the sound with my fingers. You know, I was playing it. And as soon as he walked in the door, he just started going like creaking sounds and shit or something like. Like rocking chair creaking sounds, and he just started doing it, and I was like, oh shit. So then I put some drums on it or whatever, and then we tracked it, put it down, and he recorded it. And that was just like immediately, and you know, just he just came in, and then we just started. It just was happening. You know what I'm saying? It's weird. It'd be a lot of weird shit like that happens, like blessings or like a meant to be moments or something. I don't know.
And also you met Busta Rhymes in Harlem by Kashmiri. Kashmiri recognized you and he liked a lot of your work. Can you tell us about Busta Rhymes, how you met him?
I met Busta Rhymes. I met Busta. I know he came to my house. He came to my house in Sacramento, and he had a show, and he hit me. I can't remember how I got my number or whatever. And he came to the house, and we just started working. We just did a couple songs. He took them. He wrote while he was in there, and he left. But then I sent him after that, I ended up sending him Make It Clap. That beat, yeah. That's the first one I sent him was Make It Clap. So then when I was out there doing that, I did another record. Oh, wait, how did that go down? It was I Know What You Want, but Jermaine Dupri had it. So he had the beat first, so I told Busta, Jermaine Dupri wanted the song for Jagged Edge. So I was like, man, he had it first. Let me see. So then once Jermaine Dupri passed, then I gave it to Busta. And Busta was like, you know what you fucking did? You fucking gave me a fucking smash. And I was like, okay, yeah, that's what it is. And then I went out there to do the song. But Mariah Carey, she sang the hook. But that night, she was supposed to come see the hook. I flew into New York to record it and everything. But they wouldn't wake her up. She said she has to have like 13 hours of sleep before she does vocals. And we couldn't wake her. So I didn't get to see her record her vocals on that song. But
yeah.
Okay. I don't know. So I think that's how I met Busta. I can't remember though how he got my line or any of that shit.
Yeah,
but you know,
I imagine it was crazy to have for the song. I needed to have Dishon, Seabo, Rich, Bill Aged, E-40, and Tupac in the same studio in the same lab.
Oh yeah, that was crazy.
I think it was crazy to work out it.
It was crazy.
Remember
that? It was crazy. It was. Yeah. That shit was crazy. It was It was crazy because a lot of us caravan from the Bay Area to there. So, like, D-Shot, Richie Rich, Sebo, me, can't remember who else. We all mobbed out. We drove out there. And like I was saying, we got in the studio, and Pac played the album to everybody, and we were just like, wow. And then he was like, let's do a song. He wanted to get everybody on the song for the Bay Area and shit. And they were looking, they needed a producer or whatever. And so, like I was telling him, I just had my bag. I used to carry a SB-12 bag. I mean, a bag. It was a Kool's bag. You know, when you smoke cigarettes, you get the little Kool's bag or whatever. And I had a SB-1200 discs in there. So I ended up just loading the disc up. And Pac picked the beat, I loaded up or whatever. So, and then they just got down. So Pac just went in and he's like, what's that? I was like, that's you, whatever. And he's like, oh, okay, cool. And he was like, man, put that shit down so I could lay my lyrics. So he put the shit down and he went in there. I mean, he wrote that shit like he was tracing it. You know what I'm saying? It was weird. Like he just like the Zorro sword.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
that's his son,
he wrote that shit hecka fast. And then he recorded his shit, came out, lit a cigarette, whatever, you know, kicked back and just waited for everybody. It took everybody else a minute. Sebo, Storm, the Outlaws. That was just dope to me. It was just like, damn, I'm in the middle of this. I'm in a moment right now. Like, this is a fleeting moment, and I'm in it. You know what I'm saying? I'm in this moment and shit, and I'm gonna contribute. I'm contributing. It's like, wow, it's happening. Like, I'm, you know, that shit crazy, bro.
With all
my
those dudes,
dope.
Too. I mean, it's just amazing. Mm-hmm. And it's timeless.
He legit. Mm-hmm. And it was it was
was just the mostly was the experience for me, the joking, the capping, the shit talking. You got D boys, you got gangsters, you got, you know, Bloods and Crips from L.A., then you got these Crips from you know, Sac, and then you got Bay Area, and it's just all these different, but they all just meshing, and the love is music, and all of them got talent, so it's like it was a lot of game involved, you know what I'm saying? A lot of downloading I had to, you know, a lot of information I had to download into my professional music bank, you know what I'm saying, that I got from them, because they was already doing it. Sebo and them was doing it independent, killing it, you know what I'm saying? So everybody was Richie Rich. Everybody was doing their shit on a high level, and I was just trying to learn. So those moments be dope, man.
And all those guys, you know what I'm saying, rest in peace, Pac, but all those other guys, they're still doing it today, man. So are you. So,
yep.
You know,
yep,
and I know if Pac was here, he'd still be doing it too. You guys would have made hella
yep.
music together, I imagine, over the
for
years.
Sure. I wish I could thank you, man, you know what I'm saying, because it's like that was the starting point, you know, Conscious Daughters and Pac, you know, and that was like, and the shit he taught me, all that work ethic shit is real. You know, talent is cool. That work ethic, that's the one I preach. You know what I'm saying? But and I learned it from that ninja. He went hard in the studio.
Yeah. Oh, he did,
yeah.
Man. And you know what I wish though? I'll say this, and then we're about to get out of here. But I wish, as a fan of Pac, and I'm sure a lot of people who are friends with Pac or who knew Pac or work with him like yourself probably feel the same, but
mm-hmm.
I wish a lot of these dudes would just keep his name out their mouth and let him rest. You know what I'm saying? You got a lot of guys who think they're going to come up off of dissing him or
mm-hmm.
making some kind of crazy fucking statement about him.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, let the man rest in peace. You know?
Yeah.
And if you can't say
real
nothing
talk.
Positive about him, don't say nothing
mm-hmm.
about him at all. You know?
Yeah, that's real. I feel that 100%. I concur. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how you can speak down on him at any kind of, you know. Like right now, I'm an older man. Look, he's way younger than me now. Cause he you know what I'm saying? He stayed still. He's still the same age. And I listen back to his music, like, I still get gems and shit from it at my age, like older, not in my 20s, you know what I'm saying, in my teens no more. So it's like he was the truth. Well, this what you would be trying to be like, not necessarily be him, he's him, be you, but you would want to be this, right? Or do you want to be in for a year or two and or three and trying to figure out the rest of your life? Or would you want to be great? Like, this, I don't understand when people talk bad on him. I mean, he got the record sales. He had the bitches. He got the love. You know, he had the talent. He had the skill. He really was for real with the music and with his real life. So, I don't know. I don't get it, man. I just can't find a solid foundation for somebody to talk bad on him unless he personally did something bad to them. Otherwise, they should shut the fuck up. You know what I'm saying? And like you said, if they don't have nothing good to say, positive, or can take nothing, or if you can't see that he did more than you, then, you know, then I don't know. But
yeah.
I digress.
And quit comparing yourself to him, too. That's what a lot of these guys do. They want to go, I'm better than him, or I'm on his level. And I look at you nine times or 10 times out of 10, the guy that says it, I'm thinking, you ain't even nowhere near Ernest's level, let alone Tupac's level.
Man.
You motherfuckers can't even speak. You know
I guess
saying?
You
let
could
alone,
keep his name alive, maybe. I don't know. Is that cool? Like maybe if nobody heard of him and you comparing yourself to him, then they'd be like, "Well, who is that?" And go check him out and be like, "Oh, hell no, this nigga's hard." You know. So maybe if he can drive people who wouldn't otherwise see Pac, that's the only good thing I see about somebody saying something. I've seen like Lil Zane. I mean, not Lil Zane. Something about that. The white kid or something said something about Pac. And I've seen a couple of youngsters talk, like, come on, my nigga. You just trying to get on or whatever the fuck, my nigga. You can't really feel like that.
And a lot of times when these guys, when they say stuff like that, a few days later they'll have a show or a concert and it'll get canceled because the Pac fans will show up in droves. Like, man, you ain't performing here tonight, motherfucker. You know, they don't forget, man.
Yeah.
They don't forget. But
they love them.
Yeah.
Real talk.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, man. Definitely. Definitely. Hey, man, they love you too, Rick, because you've been putting in work. And, man, I really, really want to thank you for taking the time out to speak to us tonight. But before we do get out of here, please give everybody your info in case cats want to get at you for production or, you know what I'm saying, whatever the case may be. Let them know what they need to go purchase as well, bro.
Okay, yeah, for sure. They need to go purchase that Rick Rock Beats, the album. It's out right now on all platforms. You know, stream that thing, whatever, beam that thing, grab that. And my other album before that's Rocket. That shit got some classic tunes on there. Check him out. And y'all can find me at rickrockbeats.com. You can buy a shirt or check me out. That's my website, or you can hit me on my Insta thing. That's Rick Rock Beats. Yeah. Instagram, Rick Rock Beats, and yeah, that's it. Twitter is Rick Rock Beats. Facebook is Rick Rock Beats. So yeah, check me out, man. Slide through. Yep.
Hell yeah. Definitely. Support Rick Rock, man, you know, and get at him for some production, man. If you got a dope project coming out, you want one of the best on it, and you got a budget, you know what I'm saying? Reach out to the man. Don't be on that BS though. Thanks again, Rick.
Man.
You take care of yourself,
man.
Brother.
I appreciate y'all having me, man. For sure. Y'all stay up, family.
Definitely.
Influenced by crime, addicted to grinding. Got the power of my chip. They can call me a timer. I've been balling since my adolescent years, steady climbing. Man, you motherfuckers don't know nothing about my timing.
That's right, boy.
Murdered in cold blood, traumatized. Pictures of me in my final state, you know mama cried. But that was fiction, some cattle got the story twisted. Like I no longer existed, mysteriously missing. I'm throwing worldwide, baby, I ain't hard to find. Where I spend most of my time, my California grind. Watching for thieving, I'm cautious, like I'm barely breathing. Putting a bullet in my throat, give me the reason. See me in hope, I'm intoxicated or slightly faded. You tried to play me, now homicide's my only payment. I'm addicted to chemistry in this life I lead. Watch me, okay, living life after a night of really come out with me. And if you don't like this rhyme, then bring your big bag to San California, cause we ain't hard to find.
Influenced by crime, addicted to grinding. Like a power of my chip.
Call me a time. I've been balling since my adolescent years, steady climbing.
Motherfuckers don't know nothing about no timing.
Breaking them off on sight, stopping lives like red lights. Watching pause as I pull my strap out my drawers and get to dumping on the ass like the laugh outlaw. Tupac in the click, smoking bulls on clips with enough risk, raise your block in one dip.
Right.
We bring on horde like tails from the grip, and we ain't hard to find. It's the tails that we kick.
I'm fully automatic for the static. This never dodge band, 50 rounds in the clip. I'm riding shotgun with the tent in the back. I plan to have a mother with uplit in this rap. I'm we're selling narcotics, is all I know. I got with you, whatever your kind. And if you need a month, I ain't hard to find.
Some may call me BC, but I call it time. That's why I keep on grinding. To the point where a nigga can't stop. Too much feeling this shit, that's why I'm quick to fill up. Hey, brother, so you know I hope, get in my way, then that's where I still go. Cause a nigga said he plotting. I search hit for hit, and mother's a keep dropping.
I've been balling since my adolescent years, steady climb.
Man, you motherfuckers don't know nothing about no timing. Down the steps, abandoned, broken down apartment complex. Heavy metal reps they carry, can't be scary. Playboy, with the proof without the trauma plate.
tugging. Hope you got a gun for if you gon' hesitate. Best shake and bake, all them hours, fist to ass tugging. Motherfucker didn't think I was gon' do something ass tugging. Threaten your life, ain't like you love him. Bury your thoughts, take his head, me up, have at him.
I grew up with that, again, threw up with that, again. I hear he trying to ride, double agent for the other side. But now, my Glock be so judgmental. Backseat of a rental, keep my name out your dental. And if your gum bleeding, and you bleeding, more than 20 stitches, you behave like this. I'm sideways, with the waves, heavy in the game. Check the resident, it's all the same. It's all the same. And we ain't hard to find.
Why the niggas acting like they can't find us, like they can't see us, like we don't be at the same spot they be at.
It's the same congregation.
Young Pockets back.
It's a celebration.
Young Pockets
back.
Hey, DC was getting out of shit, man.